amongst friends, be amongst our church family and others to come and worship you, to come and sing to you and hear from you. Lord, we ask that you would help us to have you in our hearts and our minds. You is the one that we seek after and pursue with all of our hearts. May you be our vision. May you give direction into our lives so we can be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, I don't know if people have Bibles. If not, it's okay. I'll try to read all the passages. If, otherwise, we'll start looking at Hebrews. Actually, so let's look in Acts chapter 2 if you have a Bible. If not, it's okay. I'll read. So we've been looking at our February series about what it means to utilize the means of grace from Acts chapter 2. We've looked at how we can grow in grace, how we can be gracious to one another. We've seen how the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And you know, everyone, you know, had all they came together, and there were many wonders and signs being done by the apostles. And all who believed were together, they had things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing all the proceeds to any as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day. So we've looked at three of these things already. We looked at the Lord's table. We looked at how to listen to a sermon, how we can be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Last week we looked at, you know, how prayer is a means of grace, how we get the privilege of coming to talk to God, to bring to Him all our needs, to ask Him to intervene in our lives, in our circumstances, so that we can be doers of His will. And we also observe that people, Christians, you know, we forget who it is that we pray to. We forget who it is that we are, you know, lifting up our prayers to. We forget that He is all-powerful. We forget that He is the one who is able to do things and accomplish all kinds of things. So sometimes we're just sort of excited too. We pray, we forget, and we don't see the result we expect, and we just kind of stop praying about that. But today we're looking at the topic of fellowship, as we alluded to last night. I guess from the 1980s and onwards, fellowship has kind of been a catchword for Christian social activity. Sometimes, you know, we have fellowship over coffee, tea, you know, cookies. Other times it can describe a high school ministry, it describes a university campus ministry. It has come to kind of mean like just another club or another activity that you can join as a social club for yourself. But what is Christian fellowship? This morning we're going to take a look at that question. We're trying to understand what is fellowship and how can we have fellowship with God? How can we have fellowship with one another? I'm going to try to address three questions. One, you know, what is it? What is fellowship? Two, how is it a means of grace? And three, how can I have more Christian fellowship? So let's look at what fellowship is. Fellowship, the word comes from a Greek word called koinonia. Maybe some of you have heard of that koinonia, maybe you haven't. But it basically means having a partnership, having a fellowship, you know, having something sharing together and something in common. Some of you, you know, Lord of the Rings fans, anybody? Yeah, what's it, you know, the first book's called The Fellowship of the Rings, you know, it's a fellowship, right? It is a bunch of, what, we have humans, we have elves, we have dwarves, a wizard, and some hobbits. They're banded together on this fellowship, on this journey, with this common mission to take that ring to Mount Doom and, you know, and to destroy it, right? That's the whole point. You know, they are sharing in this journey, they have a common quest, they have a partnership, you know, together, and they're laying aside all their temporary differences because they would be fighting with one another otherwise to go on this journey because there's a greater evil they have to band together with. Now, for us, Christian fellowship is recognizing that everybody who is a Christian, we all share in the benefits of God. Yeah, question. No. Benefits. Yeah, we can be interactive today. And we share in the benefits of Christ's death. We share in the benefits of His resurrection. You know, we all share together and partake of this new life that we have in Christ. And everyone who has been born again, everyone who is a Christian, is united together. We're sharing together. We have a common relationship with God. with Christ. He is all of our Lords. He is all of our Saviors. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, you, speaking to these Christians in Corinth, you know, you were called into fellowship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have been called, we have been put into this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have heard, that which we proclaim to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, that you may partake, that you may share in what, you know, this Paul has been teaching this church, what they've been sharing about Christ. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So when you see who Jesus is, when you believe His gospel message, you share and have fellowship with God. You have put into this, I guess, new relationship with God and with one another. In other words, what we're just basically saying, you cannot have fellowship if you're not having fellowship with other Christians. It's a requirement. We must have a common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's required for Christian fellowship. Now, of course, you know, we want to be friends with unbelievers, right? We want, you know, we encourage you, you know, be friends and make friends with those who are not yet Christians. But we need to understand fellowship can only happen on this level with other Christians. But just because a bunch of Christians are hanging out doing things together, is that fellowship? Is it? Not necessarily. It's not automatic. Just when a bunch of Christians are hanging out and doing things, it doesn't mean there's fellowship happening. You know, certainly Christians, we have a common goal, we have a common purpose, and we make up a community of faith. But fellowship is much more. You know, fellowship is sharing a common life in Christ together. There's this Jesus talks about in John 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, who remains in me, will live. And then, of course, you know, if you have a vine, you understand that analogy. A vine has its roots attached to the soil. A branch, you know, comes off of that vine. You cut off that branch, what's going to happen? That branch is going to die. There's no life within it itself. We must be connected to Christ to have this fellowship. Another famous analogy that Jesus shares about is in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm talking about the church as the body of Christ. You know, Christ is our head. We are the body. We all have many different body parts. We are all made of different body parts. And you know, as a person, we need every part of us to be working in order. Otherwise, we've got to talk to the doctor, right? And get fixed up. Because there could be a problem. But likewise in the church, you know, we all have different roles. We all have different functions within the body of Christ. But we must all work in conjunction under the Lord Jesus Christ as our head to bring Him glory, to bring Him honor. So we have a common purpose. What's the purpose of being in fellowship? Is to have a meaningful relationship with other Christians so we can help bring glory to God. That's our purpose of what fellowship is. Now, how do we do that? How do we bring glory to God? How do we have meaningful relationships with other Christians? Well, let's look at some ways. Well, one is sharing ourselves with other believers. Share yourself with other believers. You know, so the Acts 2 spoke about sharing material possessions with other believers. If there is one in need, go share. Help those who have a need. But also share spiritually with one another. You know, you as an individual, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're, you know, you're walking with the Lord. Share what God is teaching you with another Christian. Encourage one another with another Christian, with what God is teaching you. Help one another apply the Scriptures to life. This is how we share ourselves with one another. Colossians 3 is another great passage. 12 to 17, you might turn there. If not, it's okay, I'll read it. We're going to be spending a little bit of time here. Colossians 3, 12 to 17 says, put on then, as God's holy ones, chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you must also forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly,
teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in work or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So some of you got this last time, we were discussing, you know, when you describe what this fellowship looked like, you know, we have to have this genuine care, this genuine love, this humble compassion with one another. And we recognize that some people amongst us, maybe they're physically unwell. Some are older, some are younger, some are just not, you know, doing well physically. You know, we help, we do what we can to encourage. Some of us are spiritually stronger, some of us are spiritually weaker. You know, the stronger ones are to help those who are weaker. You know, some are more prone to certain temptations, others are prone to other temptations, and we encourage, we love one another. And when a part is being criticized, we, you know, it doesn't help. We don't heap on gossip, we don't spread rumors, we stop gossip, we prayerfully confront and assess, you know, is there any truth here? Go find that weaker brother, go find that weaker sister, and do what you can to restore them to fellowship, to help that person who is weak and hurting. You understand this, you know, if you guys get a cut, you don't keep ripping at and agitating that cut, right? You don't keep picking at it, you don't keep digging at it and making it hurt more. No, you put on a bandage, you clean that wound, you help let it heal. So likewise in the body of Christ, you know, if one is hurting, if one is weak, if one is under, you know, temptation, we go and help and encourage that person. We don't just, you know, criticize and then kind of walk away. And it also tells us we do this with humility. We do this with meekness, with patience. Bear one another. We care with one another's burdens. You know, really, we go to approach someone and ask, how can I pray for you? How can I listen to what's going on in your life? Sometimes we're just so busy doing things that we forget to just listen and hear. So that we can speak the word of God, speak biblical advice to one another's lives. And we need this kind of relationship. And when we get into conflict with one another, as all siblings do, right, we forgive one another. I was talking to someone, I was asking Calvin last night, like, what's it like growing up with three brothers? And he's like, oh, we fight all the time. But then, you know, we make up and the next day we forget about it. Well, my kids too, you know, they fight every day. But after a while, they make up, they forgive one another, they move on. Well, this is what it's like in the body of Christ. We are going to fight. We are going to, you know, rub one another the wrong way because we're all different. We all have our preferences, but, you know, we forgive one another always and grow together. Secondly, it says, you know, in verse 14, to let Christ's self-sacrificial love for one another rule in your hearts. What is love? Love is a commitment to one another. It's commitment to serve one another, and I'm going to add to serve one another with a joyful heart, because God cares more than just the action. He cares about your attitude as well. This is what we keep teaching my kids and others as well. You know, it's about your attitude's more important than what you actually do sometimes. Love doesn't give up when things get difficult, right? Love does what's best for one another. And what's best for one another is not usually what is the most easiest. It's not usually what's the most convenient. You know, this is where that sacrificial comes from. It may not even be what you prefer to do, but, you know, we sacrifice our preferences to do what's best for someone else. Love doesn't compromise what God has said in his word. We recognize, how do we know what is best for someone else? Is it your idea? Is it his idea? Is it my idea? No, it's what God has said is best. God knows what is best for one another. And when we are growing together in holiness, when we become more like Christ, he's the standard of what is best for somebody. You know, love is sensitive. It considers where one is in their walk, whether they're stronger, whether they're weaker. It considers, you know, what are their life circumstances that are going on. And we can go to, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 if we would like to and spend hours there. You guys know 1 Corinthians 13. It's like at every wedding, practically every wedding, it's like the go-to passage, right? But you guys also need to understand, that wasn't written to be a wedding psalm. It's talking about, you know, how do you live and function within the church? That's the context of where that love is supposed to be seen. Yes, the marriage, of course, in one part, but as a church together, that's, you know, how we are to love one another. That's given to us, the church. And also, we let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And as we relate to one another in verse 15, we're reminded that, you know, because Christ died for us, Our sins have been forgiven. We are have peace with God. And we are secure in our faith. We have a relationship with God that is never going to sour, that will never, God will never turn his back on us. And since we have this peace with him, we recognize this, we know our sins are forgiven, we have a relationship with him, we can be peacemakers with one another. We can introduce people to God. We can help people get right with God. And we can help one another confess sin. Because in any type of conflict, whatever it is, there's always sin. It may not be all your fault, but at least it's partly your fault. And you need to confess that part to the Lord. And with one another, we know we don't want to allow kind of any bitterness or resentment to happen and swallow up in our hearts. We need to nip that at the bud. We can't just pretend there's no offense, there's no conflict, and just kind of move on. But no, we need to seriously deal with the bitterness in our hearts. Because with any sin, we always bring it to the cross of Christ. The gospel is always the solution to any sin. The gospel provides forgiveness for our sins, provides healing for any wounds that we have and brokenness in our hearts. And also it says later on in verse 16 that we use the scriptures to teach one another, correcting one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But that is every time we're singing songs, just like we sang earlier, and the words of them represent the truth of the scriptures. We are encouraging and singing and teaching one another through our songs. We also use wisdom in helping one another apply the scriptures. And we give thanks for God and the relationships we have in our fellowship. We build one another up in our faith. Instead of sometimes, building one another up involves tearing down wrong foundations, rotten foundations, that you must build up on a strong foundation that is the Word of God. Verse 17, we're reminded everything is done for the glory of God. That is the aim. That is the goal. So in Christian fellowship, we're sharing our lives with one another. We are sharpening one another. We are helping one another become more like Christ. Really, for me, for you guys, for each one of us, we're better not on our own. Right? We're better together when other people are able to help us. I have limitations. I have weaknesses. You have limitations. You have weaknesses. But together we can sharpen one another. We can help one another see what our weaknesses are so we can grow and push one another towards Christ. Christianity is not just this solo kind of relationship. Church is not just, watching your favorite pastor or listening to your favorite pastor on your screen. That's not the same. There's this one another fellowship, this body life that needs to go on. That does not happen when you're just listening to your world-famous pastors on your audio device. Fellowship also has this idea of being a joint partner. We're joining together to advance the gospel of Christ. Having a community where we love one another, where we share with one another, where we teach one another and help one another, these are all good, but that's not just the end in itself, just having a community. The end is that we want to have fellowship and bring glory to God. That's the purpose of our fellowship, bringing glory to God. One way we bring God glory is by modeling the kind of Christian community that is attractive to those who are outside, those who are not in the church. People all want relationship with one another. We are all made to have relationships. We all need friends. And normally our friends are people who are very much like us. Similar stage in life. Yet if you look at it within the Christian fellowship, within the Christian church, some of our best friends, some of our good friends can be perhaps nothing like us on the externals. But we share something much deeper, that is our common love for Christ, our common faith in Christ. Some of our relationships with our Christian friends are deeper than even blood can be. Think about it. Where do you see this in any group in the world? You go talk to people, your peers, they're usually only hanging with people who are very much like them. But the Church of Christ is much more. It is where we transcend these barriers because we have something much deeper that unites all of us in this fellowship. So how we relate to one another can be persuasive in bringing people to Christ, being a good example of how people can come to Christ. Secondly, all of us are commanded to make disciples, to go and make disciples of Jesus.
It's not just an individual calling. This is a thing we do it together as a church. And we pull our resources together. We use our gifts together. You know, we have, some of us have better gifts, some of us have other gifts. But all together, we are useful together, working together as a church to bring people to Christ. To introduce them to Jesus, to help people mature in the faith. Now, some of this may involve some of us going on missionary journeys, or some of us, you know, prayerfully, financially supporting those of us who do go. But if you think of it, you know, our missionaries that we even do support, sometimes they're just, you know, they're out of sight, out of mind. We're not thinking about them, we're not praying about them, we're not really engaged in supporting them. This is a reminder, hey, we're all involved in the mission. We're all involved in partnering together. So let me just give you some practical things. You know, you put your missionaries that you support, that you want to pray for, put them on a list beside you in your Bible. So every time you're reading your Bible, you're praying for them. Praying that they would be bold in sharing, praying for right words, praying for opportunities, you know, praying for protection, praying for more, for workers in the harvest. You know, do that. Encourage one another to do that. Pray for our missionaries. They need our support. So Christian fellowship is how we live out our faith with one another, you know, how we become more like Christ together, how we can be a compelling witness to the unbelieving world. And this is what is, and what's required for all of that is first a saving relationship with Christ. So let's look at this second question I have. You know, how is Christian fellowship a means of grace? How is fellowship, you know, a way, a channel for God to pour out His blessing upon the church? Because if you think of it, you know, God saves you, and then He intentionally puts you together with other Christians and says, get along with one another, work together, function, grow, you know, trust one another, trust and rely upon the Word of God to grow together. Now, you take any, you know, bunch of people, put them together, there will be conflict, there will be difficulties. But sometimes we do need one another to help us to see, you know, where is God working in our lives? What are our shortcomings? Where do we need God's help? Where we need one another. That's pretty much what I'm saying. And as God shows us our weaknesses and shows us what we need, we can go and ask God for grace to help address some of those weaknesses. I mean, just consider some of the alternatives. You know, some Christians, they try to live it all, their Christian life, all by their own willpower. It's all about them, their effort. You know, maybe you've tried that. It's doomed to fail. It's doomed to lead to frustrating, you know, Christian experience, unsatisfactory relationships. You're going to see very little fruit of it. They're all depending upon yourself to get it done. I mean, Jesus also told us in the same chapter with Jesus says, I'm the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. On the flip side, some people overreact and say, oh, it's all about God. You know, I don't need to put in any effort. I don't need to put any willpower. It's just, you know, let go and let God and let Him take care of everything. I do nothing, God does it all. Well, we know that also fails, right? That's also impractical and it fails. Disappoints us and fails. You know, a third way people will try to live the Christian life is, I'm going to rely on myself up until a certain point, and then when I'm in a crisis, then I will ask the Lord for help me. It's like, Lord, help me when I need help. But otherwise, I don't need your help. I can do this on my own. Well, we know that also is, you know, leads you to difficulty. You only trust the Lord when there's a crisis. But what we really be needing to grow in fellowship, to be a blessing to others, is this constant abiding in Christ. Regularly abiding in Christ. You start in the day with Christ. Asking the Lord, you know, to help you trust Him. Ask the Lord to help you through the day. End the day with thankfulness. You know, you work hard on relying upon Him to help you in your work. You ask the Lord to help you with your attitudes, you know, when you to accomplish everything you need to get done in that day to bring glory to God. You know, so that, you know, whatever you do, is evidence with the fruit of the Spirit. To the end product, the journey, the effort, the attitude, everything of it brings glory to God. This is the kind of life that brings God much grace, kind of life that we need to be a blessing to other people. We also go to Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day draw near. And it says to us to consider, you know, to think, to plan, to find ways to initiate, to stir up one another, to provoke one another, to encourage one another to love and to good works. This is what we have to do in our fellowship. So let me just give you some practical things. Now, if you're ready doing a ministry to other people, invite someone else to come do something with you. You don't have to start something brand new. Hey, you like to do a certain thing, and that is a ministry to other people. Just grab someone else and say, come along with me. Hey, I'm starting to read this book on Christians, the Christian life. I'm inviting you, come and read this book with me. Or hey, you know, like I noticed that I need to grow in prayer. I want to grow in my prayer life. Come and pray with me and be my prayer partner. Or if you're regularly volunteering at a food bank, invite another family. Invite someone else, come and volunteer with me, right? And if you hear of someone who has needs in the church, be that person to meet that need and bring someone else with you. Always think, you know, how can I bring someone else? How can I do more than just me? You know, you doing it on my own. And also it says, you know, regularly meet with one another. Don't neglect meeting one another, because you need to encourage one another. And you know, we sit under the word together, we sing together, we pray together, we share this stuff together. And we want to keep one another accountable in our walks to the Lord, to encourage one another in our witnesses. So that's why we gather, you know, every week, is to worship the Lord. We gather to be encouraged, we gather to encourage one another. And then we go out during the weeks and minister to people and love people and share the love of Christ. And we come back to get more encouragement and more feeding and more prayers. And then we go out during the week. That's what Sunday is. Every day should not be Sunday at church, right? It couldn't be. We got to be out there in the world encouraging, loving people too. So fellowship is how we remain committed to people in our church. It's how we, you know, even when there's difficulty, even then when there's personal offenses, we don't lose our fellowship. We don't leave fellowship when things get difficult. You know, we work through them. And we forgive one another. We work through our sins together so we can grow in love. And we don't even choose who it is that we have fellowship with. If I'm part of the church, you're part of the church, we have fellowship with one another, whether we like it or not. You know, God has put us together so we can grow to love one another. And we need one another to do this. This is how God means to grow each one of us, in expanding our love, expanding our relationship with one another. So how can I have more fellowship? What can I do? Let's get some practical things. So on a personal level, fellowship begins with your own walk with the Lord. Are you having regular quiet times with God? This is, you know, how you read your Bible, how you pray. For me, you know, my life is too crazy in the morning. I divide, you know, with the kids, they get up too early. You know, I use my commute times to spend time with God. I covet my commute times, you know. Instead of turning on the radio or whatever, I just turn it off or turn it to some classical music and spend time talking to God, asking Him, give me what I need today, give me the grace, help me. You know, I use that time, whatever that commute time is, you know, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, you know, spend that time praying with God. If you can't get up early enough to do it. In the evening on your way home, you know, thank the Lord for what He's done for you on your commute home. By make use of those times where there's nothing else really that you can do if you're driving in traffic. You know, think upon and give God all those pressures, give God all the troubles that you face in your work or in school, and ask the Lord to help you. Think through and process through all those things. Because God gets glory when we share with them our needs. God gets glory when we come to Him. We confess our sins. Maybe I've wronged someone. Maybe that meeting did not go well because of me. Well, I need to confess and ask God for forgiveness there to remove that guilt. Another thing that's helpful, you know, is before you walk in the door of your home, you know, pray that God will give you a right heart. Pray that God will give you a right heart so you can serve your family. Because, you know, the work doesn't end when you work ends, it just begins. You work at home begins, right? We all understand with kids. Your second job begins. And if you're all worn out and beat up at work already, you have no energy. You need God's strength to work with your family, the ones you love the most. And, you know, as you go to bed, you know, just thank the Lord for what He's done. Thank Him. Just recall all the things that have gone on during the day. Thank the Lord. Give thanks. Well, on a church level, let's talk about for us, big picture, what can we do? Well, make use of the opportunities that we already use, the things we already do in common. Our church, we eat lunch together every single Sunday. You know, instead of just talking about work, school, sports, weather, kids, whatever have you, you know, be intentional. Talk about what has God been teaching you. You got to encourage one another, right? What is God teaching you in your quiet times? What did God, one thing that God taught you from the message that you heard? Now, if you're forgetful, you're the person who doesn't, you know, remember, keep a small journal. I know my wife does that. She has a journal. She writes down little things that God says to her in her Bible time. So, and you can bring that to church and say, hey, look here, here's something that God taught me today. Well, we want to be, you know, sharing our lives, sharing what God is doing in our lives and teaching us. And that helps us to want to pursue God more. Then ask someone else, hey, I've shared, you share. Right? I share, you share. We can encourage one another. We can have spiritually edifying conversations. Don't leave the church until you have at least encouraged one person. Make that, maybe that your goal. Don't just walk out and pretend and not interact with anybody, but hey, encourage somebody, anybody. Secondly, we can meet one another's physical needs, practical needs. No, I'm very encouraged by you guys, you church, and you are very generous with one another. You know, you do take the time to love one another and to share what you have with one another. You know, but take that kind of next step. Not just physical, but talk about spiritual things. Ask, like, how can I pray for you? Pray for one another. Ask somebody at church, how can I pray for you? That is a way to meet someone's spiritual need. And whatever we do, you know, spur one another to love. Say a special word of encouragement. Special word of praise. These are excellent ways to motivate people to love God more. A word of praise, a word of encouragement goes a lot longer than a word of criticism. Thirdly, you know, when we have fellowship, make sure we're actually having spiritual fellowship. Make sure it's more than just a social gathering. Now think about it. If you have a regular event that you do all the time, you know, is there a specific plan on how this is going to accomplish spiritual fellowship? Is there a way for us to, is there actually a tangible path that I can trace back and think about? How is this going to help me to grow and love the Lord? How is this going to help me keep accountable before the Lord? How is this going to give me a deeper relationship with God? Find ways to help one another apply the scriptures. And what I've found is that, you know, as we spend time discussing things, or if you teach Sunday school, whatever, you know, the more you're engaged with something, the more you're going to remember something. You're probably going to forget 90% of the stuff I tell you today. I'm going to forget 90% of the things I've said today. No, but if you have a discussion about it later, you're going to remember maybe 20%. If you actually teach someone else a lesson you've learned, you might remember 50%. You know, the more you're involved and more in teaching and remembering, discussing, you know, using what you're hearing to help one another, the more you'll remember, the more you'll grow. And a fourth practical way is, you know, come join a discipleship group. You know, we keep hammering this, but we need to, you know, find other brothers and sisters to help us keep accountable, to help us grow as a spiritual friend, as a spiritual confidant. We need someone to come and ask us the tough questions. You know, how has your regular quiet time been? You know, what is God teaching you in your Bible study reading? What is He teaching you in your time of meditation? You know, how is your family life going? We need to be getting deeper. We need people to help us in our areas of weaknesses. You know, for many of us who are younger, you know, time management. So maybe some people, we need to deal with our anger. Sometimes we need, whatever temptation is, we need someone to help pray for us, help keep us accountable to grow in. Go and pray together. Because, you know, not all of us have answers. None of us will have all the answers, but all the answers can be found in the scriptures and can be found in God. This is how we love one another, this is how we fellowship with one another. So, let me close off in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this weekend. We can spend enjoying one another's company, enjoying one another's fellowship. No, thank you for the conversations and relationships we've been able to build. Father, we pray that you would help us to become a people who are intentionally investing and giving ourselves to help one another become more like Christ. Lord, make us willing. Make us give us this desire to see one another grow and mature, and so we can love one another, give you glory, and be an attractional model for others who are not within the the church is. We pray that you would work and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.